It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There's a new federal law that penalizes states for errors made in allocating food aid that's known as SNAP. And that comes as work requirements have been phased in for many recipients.
Advocates for low-income people worry that the additional paperwork requirements could end up denying benefits to people who otherwise would qualify.
The impacts of this change are starting to be felt around the country. We're checking in with advocates here in Wisconsin to see what effects they're seeing.
William Park Sutherland is the Government Affairs Director for Kids Forward, and Jackie Anderson is the Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin, which provides advocacy and support to Feeding America agencies and food pantries around Wisconsin. Jackie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And William, thanks for being with us.
Happy to be here.
William, let's start with you. We've got this new law requiring more paperwork for SNAP benefits and the job requirements going into effect over the course of this year. We've seen reporting that some states like Arizona have seen a big decrease then in people successfully claiming SNAP benefits. What are we seeing so far in Wisconsin?
So in Wisconsin, we've seen about 15,000 fewer people who are getting access to food assistance. And that's considerably smaller than most other states. Wisconsin has been in a particularly good place and actually was able to allocate considerable amounts of money to kind of help address some of these big federal cuts that are looming and the paperwork requirements that you referenced.
And William, of these 15,000 people, do we have a sense that, okay, these are people who shouldn't have been eligible under these requirements, under these work requirements for SNAP benefits, or these are people who might have been eligible but didn't successfully get through the bureaucracy, the paperwork here?
I think it's hard to parse that out. But what we know is that these kinds of paperwork barriers, prove your working requirements, make it harder for people to qualify. And the whole idea of the cut from the federal government, it's only a cut if it cuts out people who were otherwise eligible. So, you know, that's an important distinction. I think that we just don't know exactly what is happening. There's also, you know, fear and misinformation, and that could also be triggering some of the people who are losing access to their food assistance.
And Jackie, your thoughts?
Well, I think it is definitely the fear and also people not clearly understanding who is eligible and who's not. So I think a lot of there's confusion, too, which is going to, you know, someone might stall at the actual application process because of those two things.
And Jackie, we've seen reporting again from other states that there's a snowball effect here as people leave SNAP or are unable to renew their SNAP benefits, they're turning to food banks, and that's putting more stress on often already stressed food banks. What are you seeing in Wisconsin?
We're seeing across the state about a 30 to 40% increase. And, you know, we started to see that even before these SNAP work eligibility new work requirements went into play. For a lot of different reasons, right? Rent is going up, groceries are expensive, you know, everything is a little bit more. So we're seeing that number go up. What we foresee is probably with Medicaid changes that are coming up, that the number is going to increase even more because people are going to have to make the hard decision, do I pay for healthcare or do I pay for food? So we are bracing ourselves for that number to go up. We also just have some recent Map the Meal Gap data that comes from the Feeding America National Office. And that shows, too, that number, we've gone up from, we were originally at like a 10% of folks who were considered food insecure. And now that has jumped up to 11.8%. That's as a state. So that number is also increasing. So that, you know, mirrors what I said about the number going up to the food banks and food pantries, too.
Right, Jackie, as you mentioned, a lot of factors might be leading people to food banks now. Anecdotally, from your member agencies, the people working on the ground, are you hearing people saying, I lost my SNAP benefits, I couldn't satisfy these work requirements? That's part of why I'm showing up here today?
We're not hearing that. You know, it's a very sensitive topic that people often don't want to necessarily talk about. But we do know that there are more families who are coming, more children who are coming. So, you know, we definitely can see people who are coming for the first time. So we definitely can see that uptick, but not necessarily people who are saying, like, this is why. I'm sure if we had someone collecting data in the lines, we would get that. But that's not something that we, you know, hear a lot of right now.
And William, Jackie mentioned the concern that people might just see the headlines about changes to SNAP and these work requirements, and that might deter them from applying in the first place. What kind of advice do you have for people who think they may be eligible for SNAP and frightened or maybe confused about the way this has changed this year?
I mean, I think the most important thing that people can do is if you're currently enrolled, is make sure that your contact information is up to date. The Department of Health Services is asking people to opt in to get text and email reminders. Those things will help you kind of understand whether these new work requirements will apply to you. You know, there are nearly 700,000 people who are in food share, and about 44,000 current food share recipients is what the department estimates, that those are the folks who are going to now face kind of new barriers with this increased requirement for having to prove that they're working. So it is a relatively kind of small chunk of folks, but the kind of, you know, fear and misinformation and just general confusion that the federal government has frankly been, you know, responsible for is really hard for families to navigate. And I want to say that, you know, this comes from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which was passed in July 4th of last year. And it's the largest cut to food assistance and Medicaid in the nation's history. So, you know, these are big substantive changes that are going to mean fewer people have access to food and fewer people have access to health care through Medicaid.
And Jackie, William had mentioned earlier that Wisconsin seemed to be a little more ahead of this than some other states as far as implementing these changes in a non-disruptive way. I want to hear from your vantage point. What have you seen when it comes to how Wisconsin and the government agencies that deal with these kind of benefits have reacted since the passage of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act?
Yeah, I think we are very fortunate in that we have a State Department who are a group of really smart, innovative folks who understand the importance of a federal benefit like SNAP. And because of that, you know, we proactively all collaborated and worked together to advocate for funding to make sure that things like the SNAP error rate is maintained at the low level that it is right now, that they have the staffing structure that they need. We're very, very fortunate in that we've got a system in place that works and is helping as many people as possible. We just need folks to apply for food share and, you know, make sure that we're leveraging that benefit.
We're talking about changes to federal food aid programs, how they're affecting people in Wisconsin. Jackie Anderson is with us from Feeding Wisconsin and William Park Sutherland with Kids Forward. William, you touched on this earlier, Medicaid requirements changing. That's rolling out next year. What changes are you watching there?
How much time do you have? There's so many changes coming. I'd say the biggest change is a new work reporting requirement that will apply to people in order to maintain their Medicaid eligibility as well. And that will, in Wisconsin, that will apply to so-called childless adults who are in Badger Care Plus. And, you know, they will have to prove that they're working for 1 month out of the year, or they'll have to be kind of meeting that requirement before they apply if they're a new applicant. There are a number of other changes. One I want to call attention to, both for food share and for Medicaid, is a real decrease in who has access and who's eligible for Medicaid and food share. The federal law limits eligibility for many, many immigrant families in Wisconsin and across the country. And some immigrants who have qualified for health coverage and food assistance for years will no longer be eligible. And that is another really significant change that also creates lots and lots of confusion.
Jackie, with those changes and others on the horizon, then if people are having difficulty meeting health costs with the loss of Medicaid benefits, do you see that driving more people to food pantries?
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're expecting to happen. You know, a dollar can only go so far. And with the cost of groceries going up and medical costs, we absolutely are foreseeing that the numbers are going to increase at our local pantries.
Jackie, inflation affecting people, of course, with their own food costs. You're providing food at food pantries. What kind of impact do rising costs have on the supply side of food and other materials that you're trying to provide people?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because, you know, we've heard of vendors who know that, you know, the need is so high that, you know, some may see this as an opportunity to increase their prices, which then has an impact on our food banks. So I think, you know, partnering with our local farmers is one of the most effective ways that we could make our dollar go further, as well as support our communities. But yeah, we do know that, you know, there's a lot of people to feed, and we try to keep things within Wisconsin. But if we need to go outside and bring the food in, we'll do what we need to do. But definitely the supply is an issue that we talk a lot about.
Now, William, one of the arguments for these changes is, hey, there are at least some people, the argument goes, that are able to work and have an income who are not. They're using these services that are more intended for people who are not in that situation. Do you see any merit to that argument?
Frankly, I don't. So of adults in Wisconsin who are on Medicaid, 3 out of 4 are working. Those who aren't are going to school. They're caring for a loved one, or they have other kind of complex health conditions that make it really difficult to work, that this new law will require them to prove either that they're caring for a loved one, or that they are, you know, that they're going through mental health or substance use or other medical challenges that make working difficult. Putting up all of those barriers will just make it harder for people to get the healthcare that they need in order to be healthy enough to work. So I think it's a bad solution in search of a problem that I don't think exists. And I also want to point out that when you take away people's access to health insurance and healthcare, just like with food share, their care needs don't go away. And so what we're going to see is more people who end up in the emergency room with conditions that are probably in worse states than they would otherwise be, people delaying healthcare, delaying medications, trying to, you know, stretch medications. And that will make all of us sicker, and that will cost all of us. Because when more people are uninsured and going to the emergency rooms, private health insurance rates rise. And so, you know, not only is this a kind of a bad solution in search of a problem that doesn't exist, it's also going to impact every single one of us in Wisconsin.
And I just want to add one other caveat too to what William just said. When we're thinking about folks who are being able to work, We also need to consider the infrastructure that they're living within. So do they have access to childcare? Can they afford childcare? Do they have transportation that they can rely on? Are they able to pay for gas? So there's so many different pieces and parts that go into a person who is able to work and actually, make sure that they're able to provide for their families. So, it's just not an easy little answer.
Thank you so much for that addition, Jackie.
Yeah.
And Jackie, for people who are in need of food and related help, what kind of resources are out there in Wisconsin communities, apart from, of course, your food pantries themselves?
So a lot of times if, someone is eligible for double food bucks. So if someone is going to the farmer's market, there's additional support through SNAP if they are eligible for that. A lot of times local churches also have some support. And I think it's really looking at what resources are out there. But then for the listeners here, how can they also contribute, whether it's volunteer, whether it's financial, whatever it is, everybody has a part in making this a better solution.
And do you have any other resources you would point people toward, William?
I think for folks who are looking at what their coverage options are in light of the Medicaid restrictions, going to Covering Wisconsin's website, there are State Health Navigator Program. That's a really important option. The community health centers all around the state also can provide care on a sliding scale. And then again, just making sure that you pay attention to the Department of Health Services notices, because they really are going to, do the best that they can to communicate these new changes as clearly as possible.
And Jackie, as we wrap up, what are you watching for on the horizon now? A lot has changed this year. What's the big next thing that you are watching to see how it's going to impact people here in the state?
Yeah, I think it's like what I said earlier. It's probably Medicaid is the biggest change that is going to impact our food banks and pantries. So again, we're trying to be as proactive right now and, trying to look at what food we have available to be able to give out.
Jackie, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
And William, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much.
William Park Sutherland is the Government Affairs Director for Kids Forward, and Jackie Anderson is Executive Director of Feeding Wisconsin, which provides advocacy and support to Feeding America agencies and food pantries in Wisconsin. Been talking about changes to food aid and Medicaid programs and the impact they're having here in Wisconsin. If this is an issue that has affected you or a loved one, or if you work in food relief efforts around the state, we'd love to hear your story. Let us know what you are seeing, what has changed for you, or if it hasn't changed much for you if you are a recipient of food aid. Either way, let us know about it. You can email us at wisconsintoday@wpr.org. Again, that email, wisconsintoday@wpr.org.